You're listening to The Birdbath, presented by The Fountain Report. I'm your host, Ryan Leach. Welcome back to The Birdbath. Each week, we scrape the surface of the news you need to know, so let's get into it. Kicking us off this week is a major report from the Veterinary Virtual Care Association. They released their 2024 report, which carried over 2 million data points and 500,000 reported interactions. We had a wonderful chance over the last week to sit down with the executive director of the VVCA, Grayson Gilbraith Bench, and talk a little bit more about what she found and what the VVCA found across all of this report. Now, as you look through and talk about this report, I think it's important for people to understand this was designed to be a heavily English-speaking, global, in some senses, report covering North America as well as the United Kingdom. And the data for access to care and those sort of pieces of the report are primarily focused on the U.S. basis. So when we dove into this, Grayson pointed out some very interesting things about access to care and perhaps the need and drive for why people are seeing the importance of telemedicine and virtual care. But there are 694 counties in the United States that do not have a veterinarian employed within that county. Now, that's 22% of the country does not have a DVM that lives or is employed within that county. Obviously, there's some overlap in places where people work in more rural areas and travel significantly, but to me, that was a pretty staggering number when we think about the need to increase access to care. And then another number, I'm a big numbers guy and like to boil things down as much as possible, but another number that I found really interesting was that 98.4% satisfaction rating by pet parents who did virtual appointments. The report breaks down things in everywhere from access to care, which is somewhat a driving tool or a driving force behind a lot of what the VVCA pushes for. Then they broke down the telemedicine, telehealth, teletriage, tele blah, blah, blah components into guidance-oriented versus treatment-oriented. Now, the goal there from when we spoke with Grayson was that they're trying to find a way to get surveys and data reports here to be able to allow people to get past the nuances of telemedicine, teletriage, teleconsultancy, telehealth, teleappointment, televisit, and actually get to what's happening within that appointment. So the guidance-oriented were more so what my brain thinks of as teletriage. Someone's calling in and trying to understand, does this patient need to be brought into the ER? Do they need to go to an urgent care? Is this something that can be followed up by your DVM? Or perhaps is this a follow-up on an appointment that recently happened for a more chronic issue? Whereas treatment-oriented is someone saying, my dog is having consistent itching, or I'm having some sort of a dermatitis issue, and actually going through a treatment with the pet parent over the phone or virtually in some capacity. Through the numbers, though, and the 500,000 different reported interactions, what they found in the report was that no matter the type of call, owners reported over 60% of their issues were marked as resolved. And that's from the actual owners. So in my view, pretty incredible. It does increase the buckets as you look at the access to care buckets of availability of being able to get to a DVM or actually see a DVM. It does increase the opportunity for the cost and the cost drivers for a lot of people that perhaps didn't need to go to an ER or an urgent care by being able to do a resolution to the issue or an understanding that they could not delay, but perhaps hold off on care until an appointment was available. And even just the opportunity for us to be able to increase the work-life balance and perhaps the flexibility of work for the people and the practitioners that are working in the industry. So a really incredible and interesting report. If you have a different view on a lot of these things, though, they are going to be doing this every single year. This was the first year of it. And the goal for them is to get as many disparate and altering and different opinions as possible. So if you take part in telemedicine or any type of virtual care, reach out to the VVCA, see what they have to say, see what kind of input you can give them, and then figure out if there's a way to make an impact on the 2025 report. Now, from virtual care to 90,000 square feet of brick and mortar, Wedgewood celebrates their groundbreaking of a brand new state-of-the-art veterinary pharmacy in Chandler, Arizona. This new 90,000 square foot pharmacy is going to be opening early next year and replacing their current 25,000 square foot facility. Wedgewood recently has been on a bit of a tear, making sure that they are snapping up tons of incredible companies across the industry. Starting in 2018, they bought Diamondback Drugs. In 2020, Wildlife Pharmaceuticals and Zoo Farm. And then in 2023, they bought several companies. Front Range Laboratories, Brava, Wycliffe Pharmacy, Precision Equine Pharmacy, and most significantly for a lot of people that are in practice is actually their acquisition of Blue Rabbit. They've launched a new version of Blue Rabbit in 2024 that's going to be bringing more of that delivery component and probably the more touched and tangible piece for people on the consumer side of the business. Now, Wedgewood is owned by a private equity group out of Switzerland called Partners Group, and Partners Group has a pretty good footprint across the veterinary space, not only with their investment in Wedgewood and the diversity of compounding as well as other pharmaceuticals that they provide there, but also with their investment and ownership of Alliance Animal Health and Blue River. So congratulations to Wedgewood. I think it's going to be, from the reports, it's going to be a pretty significant piece in the Arizona area. And I know it's an area that's seen a lot of growth in the past couple of years. We have a big ton, mountains load of news from Elanco this week. Elanco reported their fourth quarter revenue of $1.04 billion, which was up 5%. Their pet health sales were very slightly down and farm animal sales were up 10%. The president and CEO, Jeff Simmons, pointed to the products under regulatory review that have a path towards approval in the first half of 2024 as a bit of a bright light for the company, despite the fact that there was some less than bright lights throughout the rest of the quarterly reportings for them. The numbers and positive outlooks, though, weren't enough to please their largest shareholder, Ancora Holdings. Ancora is pushing for four board seats and wants to replace Simmons with their own selection of a CEO for Elanco. Revenues across the board were flat from 2022 to 2023, and their companion animal sales were actually down 2%, while production animal was up 2%. So they're moving money from one hand to the other, but not really seeing the growth that investors are looking for. Finally, and some more sad news on the Elanco front, they said that they plan to restructure their operations, which will result in the loss of 420 jobs, or about 5% of their workforce. The company said the restructuring is meant to shift resources from its farm animal operations to its pet health operations and to, quote, concentrate roles into strategic locations. This continues some of the reporting we've been doing over the past month about Elanco and their push towards the pet health sector and how they most recently sold a $1.3 billion portion of their business of aquatics to last month to Merck. If you like podcasts, which I have to assume you either love just listening to me or you're a podcast fan, there was an incredible and very interesting story, an important story from KCUR and Harvest Media in Kansas City. The headline of their story was, most veterinarians are women, but they still face sexism in rural areas where they're most needed. This ties really quickly back to that access to care that we discussed. And if we look at the rural areas and where a lot of those 694 underserved or no-served counties are, that's where we're finding the need for new DVMs. And that's where we're also finding some of that difficulty for the predominantly female workforce to get the respect and work that they need in those areas. Veterinary economist Clint Neal said that farming and ranching is a male-dominated field, and as a result, women veterinarians are unlikely to locate in rural practices and even less likely to own them. A staggering number that he gave out was that even though about 70% of practicing clinicians are female, only about 40% of the country's veterinary practices are owned by women. He also pointed to a pay gap among veterinarians who own their practices, with male owners making up to $100,000 more than female counterparts. Now, he did point out that there are other pieces and components that do contribute to this, but it's something that across the board, we need to find a way for veterinarians, no matter their gender, race, creed, color, anything in the world, that they're finding a fantastic way to be able to work, be respected, and practice the medicine that they're passionate about. So take a minute, listen to the story. It's about a 4-minute story from KCUR. I found it really interesting, and I think you will as well. We'll make sure we link it in the show notes. Finally, Leap Venture Studios has launched their 8th cohort of annual accelerator program for pet care startups. The accelerator offers pet care startup founders a highly customized hybrid program tailored to support and provide resources to early stage startups, in addition to $200,000 in funding, which is nothing to turn your back on. The newest cohort kicks off in London this week and is culminating with the demo day in June in New York City. The 6 startups joining the portfolio are some that we've hit on and covered on the show here before, and some that I think people should all take a second to check out. The companies are Gecko Vet, which is an online diagnostic and treatment tool for veterinary professionals by veterinarians, Innovative Pet Labs, which is a science-driven pet wellness company empowering the pet community with at-home tests and personalized solutions, Omni, not a hotel, a company founded by veterinarians on a mission to create healthier and more sustainable pet food, Scooch, an AI-powered holistic pet health subscription for the new generation of pet owners. I'm going to have to look at that because that has every possible buzzword that I could look for. AI-powered holistic pet health subscription for new generation of pet owners. All right. And next, they also have Vet Verify, which is a platform that better connects the pet economy by fetching verified vaccination records at the moment they're needed. And finally, Wimba, a company transforming pet orthopedics through Wimba AI and 4D printing technology, making the path from video scan to custom orthotics and prosthetics in minutes. Now, those are all crazy and interesting companies to check out. I had the opportunity when the announcement came out to sit down with David Servadidio, co-founder of Vet Verified, and I asked him what it meant to have the opportunity to join Leap. David said, "We're incredibly honored to be selected for this year's Leap Venture Studio cohort. The accelerator has graduated some of the most innovative pet care startups in the world, and we're humbled to be counted in their company. As 2024 is shaping up to be a year of rapid growth for Vet Verify, we couldn't have asked for a better boost than Leap." Well, David, I agree. I think Leap has doing some fantastic things and has launched some incredible companies. So congratulations to Gecko Vet, Innovative Pet Labs, Omni, Scooch, Vet Verified, and Wimba. I cannot wait to see what you all do over the next few weeks and what June 13th in New York City has to offer. And for more on these and other stories, check us out by subscribing to the Fountain Report. There's always a link in the bio. And don't miss out on any episodes by subscribing and rating the show. For The Birdbath, I'm Ryan Leach. See you next week.